Gerusalemme Liberata by Torquato Tasso. Book 17. The Argument. Egypt's great host in battle ray forth brought, the Caliph sends with Godfrey's power to fight. Armida, who Rinaldo's ruin sought, to them adjoins herself and Syria's might. To satisfy her cruel will and thought, she gives herself to him that kills her knight. He takes his fatal arms, and in his shield his ancestors and their great deeds beheld. Gaza, the city, on the frontier stands of Judah's realm, as men to Egypt ride. Built near the sea, beside it of dry sands, huge wildernesses lie, and deserts wide, which the strong winds lift from the parched lands, and toss like roaring waves in roughest tide, that from those storms poor passengers almost no refuge find, but there are drowned and lost. Within this town, one from the Turks of yore, strong garrison the king of Egypt placed, and for it nearer was, and fitted more, that high emprise to which his thoughts he cast, he left great Memphis, and to Gaza bore his regal throne, and there, from countries vast, of his huge empire, all the puissant host assembled he, and mustered on the coast. Come, say, my muse, what manner times these were, and in those times how stood the state of things, what power this monarch had, what arms they bear, what nations subject, and what friends he brings. From all lands the southern ocean near, or morning star, came princes, dukes, and kings, and only thou of half the world well nigh, the armies, lords, and captains canst descry. When Egypt from the Greekish emperor rebelled first, and Christ's true faith denied, of Mahomet's descent a warrior there set his throne and ruled that kingdom wide. Caliph he hight, and caliphs since that hour are his successors named all beside. So Nilus old his kings long time had seen, that Ptolemies and Pharaohs called had been. Established was that kingdom in short while, and grew so great that over Asia's land and Libya's realms it stretched many a mile, from Syria's coasts as far as Cyrene sands, and southward passed against the course of Nile, through the hot clime where burnt Syene stands. Hence bounded in with sandy desert's waste, and thence with Euphrates' rich flood embraced. Maremma, myrrh, and spices that doth bring, and all the rich Red Sea it comprehends, and to that lands, and to those lands toward the morning spring that lie beyond that gulf, it far extends. Great is that empire, greater by the king that rules it now, whose worth the land amends, and makes more famous, lord thereof by blood, by wisdom, valor, and all virtues good. With Turks and Persians war he oft did wage, and oft he won, and sometimes lost, the field. Nor could his adverse fortune aught assuage of his valor's heat, or make his proud heart yield. But when he grew unfit for war through age, he sheathed his sword and laid aside his shield. But yet his warlike mind he laid not down, nor his great thirst of rule, praise, and renown, but by his knights still cruel wars maintained. So wise his words, so quick his wit appears, that of the kingdom large o'er which he reigned, the charge seemed not too weighty for his years. His greatness Afric's lesser kings constrained to tremble at his name, all end him fears, and other realms that would his friendship hold, some armed soldiers sent, some gifts, some gold. This mighty prince assembled had the flower of all his realms against the Frenchmen stout, to break their rising empire and their power, nor of sure conquest had he fear or doubt. To him Armida came, even at the hour when in the plains old Gaza's walls without, the lords and leaders all their armies bring, in battle ray, mustered before their king. He on his throne was set, to which on height, who clomb an hundred ivory stairs first told, under a pentice wrought of silver bright, and trod on carpets made of silk and gold. His robes were such as best beseemeth might a king so great, so grave, so rich, so old, and twined of 60 ells of lawn and more, a turban strange adorned his tresses hoar. His right hand did his precious scepter wield, his beard was gray, his looks severe and grave, and from his eyes, not yet made dim with eld, sparkled his former worth and vigor brave. His gestures all the majesty upheld, and state, as his old age and empire crave. So Phidias carved, Apelles so, pardee, erst painted Jove, Jove thundering down from sky. On either side him stood a noble lord, whereof the first held in his upright hand of severe justice the impartial sword. The other bore the seal, and causes scanned, keeping his folk in peace and good accord, and termed was Lord Chancellor of the land. But Marshall was the first, and used to lead his armies forth to war, oft with good speed. Of bold Circassians with their halberds long, about his throne his guards stood in a ring, all richly armed in gilden corslets strong, and by their sides their crooked swords down hing. Thus set, thus seated, his grave lords among, his hosts and armies great beheld the king. And every band, as by his throne it went, their ensigns low inclined, and arms down bent. Their squadrons first the men of Egypt show, in four troops, and each his several guide, of the high country two of the low, which Nile had won out of the salt seaside. His fertile slime first stopped the water's flow, then hardened to firm land the plough abide. So Egypt still increased, within far place that part is now where ships erst anchor cast. The foremost band the people were that dwelled in Alexandria's rich and fertile plain. Along the western shore, whence Nile expelled the greedy billows of the swelling main. Araspes was their guide, who more excelled in wit and craft than strength or warlike pain. To place an ambush close, or to devise a treason false, was none so sly, so wise. The people next, that gainst the morning rays along the coasts of Asia have their seat, Orontes led them, whom no warlike praise ennobled, but high birth and titles great. His helm ne'er made him sweat in toilsome phrase, nor was his sleep e'er broke with trumpet's threat. But from soft ease to try the toil of fight, his fond ambition brought this carpet knight. The third seemed not a troop or squadron small, but an huge host, nor seemed it so much grain in Egypt grew as to sustain them all. Yet from one town thereof came all that train, a town in people to huge shires equal, that did 1,000 streets and more contain. Great Cairo it hight, whose commons from each side came swarming out to war, Compson their guide. Next, under Gazelle, marched they that plough the fertile lands above that town which lie, up to the place where Nilus, tumbling low, falls from his second cataract on high. The Egyptians weaponed were with sword and bow, no weight of helm or hauberk list they try, and richly armed, in their strong foes no dread of death, but great desire of spoil they breed. the naked folk of Barca these succeed, unarmed and half. Alarcon led that band, that long in deserts lived, in extreme need, on spoils and preys purchased by strength of hand. To battle strong, unfit, their king did lead his army next brought from Zumara land, then he of Tripoli, for sudden fight and skirmish short, both ready, bold, and light. Two captains next brought forth their bands to show, whom Stony sent, and happy Araby, which never felt the cold of frost and snow, or force of burning heat, unless fame lie, where incense pure and all sweet odors grow, where the soul phoenix doth revive, not die, and midst the perfumes rich and flowerets brave, both birth and burial, cradle hath and grave. Their clothes not rich, their garments were not gay, but weapons like the Egyptian troops they had. The Arabians next, that have no certain stay, no house, no home, no mansion good or bad, but ever, as the Scythian hordes stray, from place to place, their wandering cities gad. These have both voice and stature feminine, hair long and black, black face, and fiery eyne. Long Indian canes with iron arm they bear, and as upon their nimble steeds they ride, like a swift storm their speedy troops appear, if winds so fast bring storms from heavens wide. By Syphax led, the first Arabians were, Aldeen, the second squadron, had no guide, and Abiazar proud brought to the fight, the third, a thief, a murderer, not a knight. The islanders came then, their prince before, whose lands Arabia's gulf enclosed about, wherein they fish and gather oysters' store, whose shells great pearls rich and round pour out. The Red Sea sent with them from his left shore, of negroes grim, a black and ugly rout. These Agricult and those Osmida brought, a man that set law, faith, and trust, truth at naught. The Ethiops next, which Meroe doth breed, that sweet and gentle isle of Meroe, twixt Nile and Astrabor that far doth spread, where two religions are and kingdoms three. These Asimiro and Canario led, both kings, both pagans, and both subjects be, to the great caliph, but the third king kept Christ's sacred faith, nor to these wars outstepped. After two kings, both subjects also ride, and of two bands of archers had the charge. The first Soldan of Ormus, placed in the wide, huge Persian bay, a town rich, fair, and large, Hormuz. The last of Boacan, which at each tide the sea cuts off from Persia's southern marge, and makes an isle, but when it ebbs again, the passage there is sandy, dry, and plain. Nor thee, great Altamor, in her chaste bed, thy loving queen kept with her dear embrace. She tore her locks, she smote her breast and shed salt tears to make thee stay in that sweet place. Seem the rough seas more calm, cruel, she said, than the mild looks of thy kind spouse's face? Or is thy shield, with blood and dust defiled, a dearer armful than thy tender child? This was the mighty king of Samarcand, a captain wise, well skilled in feats of war, in courage fierce, matchless for strength of hand. Great was his praise, his force was noised far, his worth right well the Frenchmen understand, by whom his virtues feared and loved are. His men were armed with helms and hauberks strong, and by their sides broadswords and maces hung. Then from the mansions bright, to fresh aurore, Adrastus came, the glorious king of Ind. A snake's green skin spotted with black he wore, that was made rich by art and hard by kind. An elephant this furious giant bore, he fierce as fire, his mounture swift as wind. Much people brought he from his kingdoms wide, twixt Indus, Ganges, and the salt seaside. The king's own troop came next, a chosen crew, of all the camp the strength, the crown, the flower, wherein each soldier had with honors due rewarded been for service ere that hour. Their arms were strong for need and fair for show. Upon fierce steeds well mounted rode this power, and heaven itself with the clear splendor shone of their bright armor, purple, gold, and stone. Monks these Alarco, fierce, and Odomer, the muster master was, and Hedraort, and Remadon, whose rashness took no care to shun death's bitter stroke in field or fort. Tigranes, Rapoldstem, the men that fare by sea, that robbed in each creek and port, Ormond, and Marlebus the Arabian named, because that land rebellious he reclaimed. There Pirga, Ahriman, Orindo are, Brimarte the scaler, and with him Suifant, the breaker of wild horses brought from far. Then the great wrestler, strong Aridamont, and Tisipherne, the thunderbolt of war, whom none surpassed, whom none to match durst vaunt, at tilt, at tourney, or in combat brave, with spear or lance, with sword, with mace or glaive. A false Armenian did this squadron guide, that in his youth from Christ's true faith and light to the blind lore of paganism did slide, that Clement late, now Emirino hight. Yet to his king he faithful was, and tried, true in all causes, his in wrong and right. A cunning leader and a soldier bold, for strength and courage, young, for wisdom old. When all these regiments were past and gone, appeared Armide, and came her troop to show. Set in a chariot bright with precious stone, her gown tucked up, and in her hand a bow. In her sweet face her new displeasures shone, mixed with the native beauties there which grow, and quickened so her looks that in sharp wise it seems she threats, and yet her threats entice. Her chariot, like Aurora's glorious wain, with carbuncles and jacinths glistered round. Her coachman guided with the golden rein four unicorns by couples yoked and bound, of squires and lovely ladies hundreds twain, whose rattling quivers at their backs resound, on milk-white steeds wait on the chariot bright, their steeds to manage ready, swift to flight. Followed her troop, led forth by Aradin, which Hedraort from Syria's kingdom sent. As when the new-born phoenix doth begin to fly to Ethiop ward, at the fair bent of her rich wings, strange plumes and feathers thin, her crowns and chains with native gold besprent, the world amazed stands, and with her fly an host of wondering birds that sing and cry. So passed Armida, looked on, gazed on so, a wondrous dame in habit, gesture, face. There lived no wight to love so great a foe, but wished and longed those beauties to embrace. Scant seen, with anger sullen, sad for woe, she conquered all the lords and knights in place. What would she do, her sorrows past, think you, when her fair eyes, her looks and smiles shall woo? She passed. The king commanded Emiren of his rich throne to mount the lofty stage, to whom his host, his army, and his men he would commit, now in his graver age, With stately grace the man approached then, his looks his coming honor did presage. The guard asunder cleft and passage made, he to the throne up went, and there he stayed. To earth he cast his eyes, and bent his knee, to whom the king thus gan his will explain. To thee this scepter, Amaran, to thee these armies I commit, my place sustain amongst them. Go set the king of Judah free, and let the Frenchmen feel my just disdain. Go meet them, conquer them, leave none alive. Or those who scape from battle, bring captive. Thus spoke the tyrant, and the scepter laid with all his sovereign power upon the knight. I take this scepter at your hand, he said, and with your happy fortune go to fight. And trust, my lord, in your great virtue's aid, to venge all Asia's harms, her wrongs to right. Nor e'er but victor will I see your face. Our overthrow shall bring death, not disgrace. Heavens grant if evil, yet no mishap I dread, or harm they threaten against this camp of thine. That all that mischief fall upon my head, theirs be the conquest and the danger mine. And let them safe bring home their captain dead, buried in pomp of triumph's glorious shine. He ceased, and then a murmur loud upwent, with noise of joy and sound of instrument. Amid the noise and shout uprose the king, environed with many a noble peer, that to his royal tent the monarch bring. And there he feasted them, and made them cheer. To him and him he talked, and carved each thing, the greatest honored, meanest graced were. And while this mirth, this joy and feast doth last, Armida found fit time her nets to cast. But when the feast was done, she that espied all eyes on her fair visage, fixed and bent, and by new notes and certain signs described how love's empoisoned fire their entrails brent, arose, and where the king sat in his pride, with stately pace and humble gestures went. And as she could in looks, in voice she strove, fierce, stern, bold, angry, and severe to prove. "Great Emperor, behold me here," she said, "for thee my country and my faith to fight, a dame, a virgin, but a royal maid, and worthy seems this war a princess height. For by the sword the scepter is upstayed. This hand can use them both with skill and might. This hand of mine can strike, and at each blow thy foes and ours kill, wound, and overthrow. Nor yet suppose this is the foremost day wherein to war I bent my noble thought, but for the surety of thy realms and stay of our religion true, ere this I wrought. Yourself best know if this be true, I say, or if my former deeds rejoiced you aught, when Godfrey's hardy knights and princes strong I captive took and held in bondage long. I took them, bound them, and so sent them bound to thee, a noble gift, with whom they had, condemned low in dungeon underground, forever dwelt in woe and torment sad. So might thine host an easy way have found to end this doubtful war with conquest glad, had not Rinaldo fierce my knights all slain, and set those lords his friends at large again. Rinaldo is well known, and there a long and true rehearsal made she of his deeds. This is the knight that since hath done me wrong, wrong yet untold, that sharp revengement needs. Displeasure, therefore, mixed with reason strong, this thirst of war in me, this courage breeds. Nor how he injured me, time serves to tell. Let this suffice. I seek revengement fell, and will procure it, for all shafts that fly and light not in vain, Some work the shooter's will, and Jove's right hand, with thunders cast from sky, takes open vengeance oft for secret ill. But if some champion dare this knight defy to mortal battle, and by fight him kill, and with his hateful head will me present, that gift my soul shall please, my heart content. So please that for reward enjoy he shall the greatest gift I can or may afford, myself, my beauty, wealth, and kingdoms all, to marry him and take him for my lord. This promise will I keep whate'er befall, and thereto bind myself by oath and word. Now, he that deems this purchase worth his pain, let him step forth and speak. I none disdain. While thus the princess said, his hungry eyne, Adrastus fed on her sweet beauty's light. The gods forbid, quoth he, one shaft of thine should be discharged gainst that discourteous knight. His heart unworthy is, shootress divine, of thine artillery to feel the might. To wreak thine ire, behold me, pressed and fit. I will his head cut off, and bring thee it. I will his heart with this sharp sword divide, and to the vultures cast his carcass out. Thus threatened he, but Tisipharne envied to hear his glorious vaunt and boasting stout, and said, But who art thou, that so great pride thou showest before the king, me, and this rout? Pardee, here are some such whose worth exceeds thy vaunting much, yet boast not of their deeds. The Indian fierce replied, I am the man whose acts, his words, and boasts have I surpassed. But if elsewhere the words thou now began had uttered been, that speech had been thy last. Thus quarrelled they. The monarch stayed them then, and twixt the angry knights his sceptre cast. Then to Armida said, Fair queen, I see thy heart is stout, thy thoughts courageous be. Thou worthy art that their disdain and ire, at these commands these knights should both appease. That gainst thy foe, their courage hottest fire, thou mayst employ, both when and where you please. There are all their power and force, and what desire they have to serve thee, may they show at ease. The monarch held his peace when this was said, and they new proffer of their service made. Nor they alone, but all that famous were in feats of arms, boast that he shall be dead. All offer her their aid, all say and swear to take revenge on his condemned head. So many arms moved she against her dear, and swore her darling underfoot to tread. But he, since first the enchanted isle he left, safe in his barge, the roaring waves still cleft. End of Part 1 of Book 17.